let, where does that come? That comes from Romans chapter 3, verse 3. But we're reading verse 1 through 3, or 1 through 4, and Paul says, you've got to, he comes to the conclusion, you've got to let God be true and every man a liar. You've got to make a decision that God is going to be true. In your life, you've got to choose. And so we've been looking at different points of things that we need to recognize are true. We looked at one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. How many know this is an easy one to believe? Because the alternative is so wacky. It's so crazy. It's so crazy to believe that out of something smaller than the end of a pin, smaller than that, if they tell you how small it was, you just go, that's really, 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 really nuts. That all matter came from the inside of this dot that was smaller than the end of a pin. All matter, everything that you see. And we know how crazy it is because the thought, so boom, it explodes. You know what? Over, you know, billions of years, you know what? Earth creates this atmosphere that, you know, some polywog, you know what? Some cell becomes a polywog, becomes a frog and jumps out. And next thing you know, millions of years later, you were here. You know what I mean? Man was here. But let me tell you why it's so crazy. Why it's so easy to believe in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Because there's so many proofs of that. Everybody say proofs. Scientifical proof. What's scientific? Something that you can measure. Something that you can see. Something that's reproducible. That's what science is. So, you know what? Just to look at. Observable. Everybody say observable. So we can observe the fossil records, and we can see, when we see the beginning of life, it's complex life. It's not simple life. If Darwinism was true, the fossil record, there would be proof of it. That's what even Darwin said that. And when he was confronted about why in the world, then, because even when he was alive, there was fossil records. And the fossil records proved that at the very beginning, there was complex life. And when they dug deeper, they didn't see less complex life. They saw nothing, 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 complex life. What does that prove? It proves Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In other words, God created this life. Boom. It wasn't developed. You didn't evolve. He created. Amen. And you say, yeah, but even Darwin said, if we can't find more fossil proof of this, then this, and they asked him, they confronted him, they said, well, why isn't this, why don't we see this? He said a couple things. One thing he said is, oh, in the future we'll find it. But they pressed him on and said, well, why haven't we found it yet? Because we see this fossil record. We have some fossil records. And he said, well, we've just lost it. Here's what he said. Tell me how scientific this is. Here's what he said. This is, I'm serious. You look this up. Here's what he said. Here was what Darwin said. It's like you ever had a book that's old and you lose some pages in that book or you lose a chapter? How scientific does that sound? Did you ever tell your second grade teacher you lost your homework? Your dog ate it? Yeah. Yeah, did the dog eat the fossil records? Here's what I'm saying. And we laugh, and I'm mocking because it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And yet, here's what I'm saying to you. Let God be true and every man a liar. These men are lying to you. And they act with their skinny jeans, Grey Poupon, act like they're scientific just because they say they're scientific. No, 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 no. The scientific record doesn't prove it, just the opposite. I want to talk to you today. I want to continue this thought of throwing things at you, concepts that you've believed that are not true. And today I want to talk to you about this, and just listen to me before you make a judgment on this. That God is on your side. I want to show you today in the Word that God is on your side. So, but Pastor, I think God's on my side. Here, let me stop a minute. Really? Because what I've noticed in life is sometimes that things that God has promised me, I haven't seen yet. Am I the only one? I said, am I the only one? And in the back of our minds, we have to be really, really careful. Here's why. Because we can become like Eve. What was Eve's real, what caused her to eat that fruit? What caused her to eat that fruit? Satan. Yeah. But what was, actually the truth is, Satan couldn't force her to eat that fruit. How many know she ate it on her own? Why did she eat that fruit? Doubt. What did she, good. What did she doubt? Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Oh. She doubted the word of God? Go a little deeper. Think about this. Think about what Satan told her. What did she really, really, really doubt? She would die? Yeah, that's... What did she really, really, really doubt? Okay, wait, let me help you. What was she told by Satan? What did Satan tell her? What did Satan tell her? God did not say. What else did he tell her? Jonathan, help us out. What did he tell her? If she ate it, she'd be like God. Now, come on. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to pull it out of you. What did she really, down deep inside, what did she really believe? What? Exactly. She really believed down deep that God was withholding from her. That God wasn't a giver, that God was a withholder from her. And Satan said, and he gave an implication that this was something great. That as soon as, watch this, watch how crafty he is. As soon as you eat it, you're going to be like God. In other words, God was not only keeping something from her, God was keeping something good from her. Hello? Okay, you're trick-or-treating. You're trick-or-treating. Okay, you got a rock. You're trick-or-treating, and you go up to somebody's house, you know what, and they give this person one of those, you know the Snickers bars, but you know not the Snickers bar, the big full-size ones, okay. And so you're there, and they give, you know what, and you're there with your friends, you know what, Peter and Jonathan, and we're all trick-or-treating together, And you knock on the door, and they give Peter one of the giant-sized ones, and they give Jonathan one of the giant-sized ones. I mean, you hear it. That thing clunks in the thing. You know, it's like, clunk, wow. And you're all excited. And then they go to give you your Snicker, and it's one of those little, not a little bar, no, one of those little bite-sized ones. Here you go. Come on, I'm just asking. How do you feel about the owner of that house? He's a respecter of persons. He dogged you. You know what? He gave it to somebody else. You didn't get it. You know what? I mean, you got all kinds of opinions, but let me tell you what your opinion isn't. Your opinion isn't that that guy's for you. You walk away and you think, this guy is against me. I want to come against the lie that says God is against you. And listen, just listen to me. Before you said, no, I believe, just... So, sometimes we got to come to church and relax a little bit. Sometimes we have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and really find where we're at. Because my thought is this, that if you've lived life for a while, that there's many people that are hearing what I'm saying to you today. And if truth be known, there's something in the back of your head, in the back of your mind, and you really kind of have an irritation towards God. Because something that you have believed, something that you have hoped for, something that you have longed for, something that God has promised you has never come to fruition. You see a storm and you go down to the bottom of the boat. Great illustration, Isaac. Great illustration.
Wow.
And you go to the bottom of the boat and you have a disdain for God because of the circumstances in your life. And you accuse God of not caring for you. Why? From the heart, the mouth speaks. And I can just be honest with somebody. If we don't address this issue, then we just are going to act like it's not happening. But it is happening. Can I show you some things in the Word of God that are going to rock your socks today?
Yeah.
Are going to absolutely bless you. I want us to understand, let God be true and every man a liar. Here's the sermon title. Write this down. The Lord is on your side. The Lord is on your side. Let's look at some passages that will help us understand this. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'll have it up here on the screen. You can turn with me in your Bibles if you want, but we also have it up here on the screen. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 31. Look what it says. So what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, let me teach you what Paul is doing here. He's saying, hey, guys, understand this. God is for you. He makes this assumption that you're going to understand that God's for you. That you're going to understand that God's for you. So he says, what should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He's assuming that you understand that God's for you. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to say, look, if God's on your side, don't sweat the small things. See, if God's on your side, stop worrying about your problems. Stop worrying about your enemies. Stop worrying about those things that concern you, because here's why, because God is on your side. And when you compare God with your problems, how many know God can take care of your problems? I said, how many know God can take care of your problems? How many know that God can take, because what we need to do, we'll look at it in a minute, if we need to magnify the Lord. God can take care of these issues. But a lot of times, and how many knew this scripture before we turned to it? How many ever said, if God is for you, who can be against you? How many knew this? Could memorize it, could say it by heart. But here's what you might not know. You might not know what verse 31, 32 says. And when he says it, you're going to say, wow. Because here's what he recognizes. Man, I've got to put it in perspective. Today you're going to get some perspective of how much God loves you. I'm going to prove to you that God's on your side. I'm going to prove it to you through the Word. Look at this. Look at this next verse. Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Listen, let me tell you what. Before Jesus Christ went to the cross, there was this huge separation. And because of man's sin, God was on one side and man was on the other side. And the only one that could solve this was Jesus Christ. He was before they had lambs, they sacrificed these lambs, but they weren't perfect lambs. We needed a perfect lamb. That was Jesus. So Jesus comes and he sacrifices himself. But notice this, here's what the Heavenly Father did. The Heavenly Father gave up his son for us. Now let me tell you how radical that is. There are people in this congregation, starting with the pretty blonde in the front row, that I would definitely give my life for. Amen? But as much as I love you,
oh,
I'm just telling you, just trying to be honest. There's no one that I would give my son up for. Yeah, I might jump in front of a train and pull you out from the train and give my life for you. But I would never, if Tyler said, no, Dad, I got to do this, I would hold my son back. I would physically not allow him to do that. God didn't do that. God sent his son. So you want to get in your mind, and let me tell you why this is so, so destructive. Because it's so destructive in the same way that it was destructive for Eve. Because you start to think the wrong way. How many know your thinking is absolutely critical to where you're going in your life? And in the back of your head, because, watch this, because you haven't seen, everybody seen, because you haven't felt, everybody say felt, because you haven't seen, you haven't felt the manifestation of what God has promised you, you start to, you have your time, and you're like, time's up. Can I tell you what? God is absolutely, and you start to judge God subtly. How many know it's subtle? How many know subtle doesn't mean it's not there? It just means it's subtle. And you subtly start to judge God as being against you. And Paul says, no, 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 please understand this. God is for you. And if God is for you, there's nothing is going to come against you. There's nothing can stand against you. And now to prove it, he's going to quote and he's going to say, wait, wait, wait. He's not going to quote, but he's going to say, what about Jesus? What about God? God sent Jesus. Didn't even, watch this, didn't even withhold Jesus. He didn't withhold. He only had one son and he didn't withhold his son. Watch this. This gets so awesome. But delivered him up for us all. You know who that is? That's for you. Watch this. How shall he not with him also? Everybody say also. Okay. Everybody say also. Okay. Everybody say also five times. Ready? Also, 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 also. Why? Also. It doesn't mean just. It means also. There's other things that God has for us. Yes. Can we accept Jesus? His blood cover our sin. Us live in heaven forever. With God, absolutely, but that's not the only thing. And Paul is saying, guys, stop thinking that there's things in your life that God is withholding from you, because he's not. He's totally on your side. He's totally for you. All you have to do is remember Jesus and it's proof. But also, understand this, if he gave us Jesus, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm just teaching you what the Bible says. That's all I'm doing. Now you have reasons to believe that circumstances, things that you haven't seen yet, ways that you feel, I'm mocking this, things that you haven't seen yet, emotions that you feel, I'm mocking this. Don't allow things that you see and ways that you feel to override what God said. Amen. Let God be true. Yeah, but I haven't seen it yet. But who cares? Don't stop. Here, well, let's look at this. Look at this. Galatians chapter 9, chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Let's say that together. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Now, notice what he's saying. He's saying, let us not grow weary in doing good. I want to emphasize this, doing good. What are you doing? You're doing good. You're sowing seeds. You're serving. You're giving. You're generous. You're tithing. You know what? You're walking in love. You're doing good things that you've been told to in the Word of God. You're following Christ. You're coming to church. You're coming to Academy of Righteousness. You're forgiving people. You're doing these good things. Understand this. It's possible for us to stop doing that which is good. Why? Because the Bible warns us not to stop. If the Bible's saying don't stop, then that would give indications that we can stop. Right? But notice what we're stopping. We're stopping that which is good. Why are we stopping? Here's why. Because you sow. Here. Did anybody, when you were in kindergarten, do the milk carton, you know, bean, you know, plant the bean? If you did that, raise your hand real high. Okay. Real high. Let me see. Okay, all over. Okay. So watch this. So did any of you, like me, plant the bean on Monday and Tuesday went up to see? That's what I did. I remember doing this. I remember, actually, I was in second grade. You know what I mean? Took me a little while to figure it out. But anyway, I was in second grade. And I remember running and looking and seeing, whoa, okay, where is it? And when it wasn't there, what I did is I looked at my teacher and said, what's up? I probably didn't say that because that wasn't even popular then, but whatever. Whatever I said, it's like, what? And I thought, actually, I didn't say that. But I thought, what? You know, she don't know what's going on. She don't know what this doing. This, I'm thinking, what I thought, what did you think? This doesn't work. Where is it? Can I tell you what? And what that causes you to do is it causes you to stop. Let me quote another passage to you. Don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I said, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It's a promise. It'll happen every single time. But notice what the Bible says. There is a caveat to this. There is a clause to this promise. Who sees the clause to the promise? What's the clause? What? Yeah. Not growing weary. Who? Yeah, not growing weary, but it's also if. What? If you don't lose heart. See, you're not seeing it right away. You don't feel, you know what? You don't feel in love with your spouse. You don't see it right away. You know what? We need to walk by faith, not by sight. And it's that walking by sight, that walking by how we feel, that stops us from reaping. And when we stop reaping, we are not going to reap a harvest. Or we're not, if we stop sowing, we're not going to reap a harvest. Are you catching this? See, if we do not lose heart. Number one, write this down. If the enemy can't take us out, he'll wear us out. If he can't take you out, he'll wear you out. And here's the truth is, you know what? He can't take you out. That's why the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't kill you, he can't destroy you until he steals from you. And what does he steal from you? He steals your dream. He steals your vision. He steals the promises that God has made to you. And because, watch this, because you don't see it come to fruition in 30 days, in 60 days, in 190 days. How many know that's the world that we live in? We have been grown up. It's instant gratification. It's if we don't see it quickly enough, then we give up. And it has come into the church, and so we'll believe, but we'll do this very thing that Paul warns against. It says, don't stop doing good. You're doing good, but you can't stop. Because if you won't stop, you will reap a harvest. Period. Why? Because God's on your side. Because God's on your side. Number one, you know what? If Satan can't take you out, he'll wear you out. Number two, weariness cannot automatically come in. You must open the door to it. Weariness is knocking at your door. Weariness is knocking. Here's the question. Will you allow weariness to come in? Weariness is knocking at your door. Weariness is knocking at the door. Who is it? It's weariness. Okay, here's a question. Are you going to let weariness in or not? How do you let weariness in? Here's ways that you let weariness in. You listen to your friends. You listen to your neighbors. Sometimes you listen to your relatives. You watch this. You start entertaining, or you start allowing these thoughts to stay in your mind. Well, you know what? Maybe I married the wrong person. See, don't grow weary doing good. You're loving your spouse. You're forgiving your spouse. You're doing it. No. Don't grow weary. No, but in your mind, you're becoming tired. Yeah, but I don't want to take this anymore. And you're beginning to allow weariness. It's knocking at your door. And it's saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. And you've been lied to think, you know what? Here's what the Bible says. Love never fails. Yeah, but Pastor, it's been 6 months. Yeah, Pastor, it's been sixty-six months. But Pastor, it's been 6 years. But Pastor, it's been 16 years. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. Guys in the back, you need to flow with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting with verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Huh? What word, think about what word jumps out to you. Take a wild guess what that word is. Always. Always. See, Satan is a liar. He's telling you, no. Sometimes, he's a liar. He's telling you this. Sometimes you're going to reap and it's just not going to happen. He's a liar. Don't be deceived. God always, always leads us to triumph. You know a great word picture that is? And if you look at it in the Greek, that's actually what we're saying. He's saying that God is marching in this victory parade. And Jesus is leading, and you're right there with him. He always leads us to triumph. All the time. Watch this. And through us fuses a fragrance of his knowledge to every place. That's last week's sermon. You know what that's saying? You're walking in victory. Here's what you're doing. You're walking in determination that you are not going to allow circumstances or how you feel to dictate to get you to stop. And people around you, they smell it. And you know what it smells like? It smells like Jesus. How many of God is an incredible communicator? Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun set on your wrath. Wow, very interesting passage. Look at this next verse. Give no place to the devil. Isn't that interesting? I've been just amazed at not only how cool verses are when you find out. How many ever heard that? Give no place to the devil. How many know that verse? How many ever knew the verse that above that? Go ahead, go back to 26. How many knew the verse above that is be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun set down on your wrath. Don't get angry. Don't get angry with God because the timing that you thought it should happen hasn't happened yet. And what you do is when you, watch this, when you open your mind up to be deceived that God isn't for you, he's against you, that's never going to happen, you know what, you're never going to get healed, you know what, your marriage will never be restored, it's always going to be like this, you're always going to be, you know what, depressed, all these situations, all these negative things that you finally resolve to stop doing good, stop fighting the good fight of faith, you're just tired. You just want to stop. Can I tell you what you're doing? The Bible talks about it a little bit. You're going to start to speak evil. You're going to start to speak evil. You are getting angry. And I'm just telling you the truth today. One of the beings that you're getting angry with is you're getting angry with God. And the Bible says, don't. I'll show it to you in context in a minute. But the Bible says, don't give place to Satan in that way. Give no place to Satan. Now, go to verse 27. Go to verse 28. Watch this. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, which is good, that he might have something to give to him in need. Next verse. Watch this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. You know what a corrupt word is? It's a rotten word. And you start, watch this, and you're believing God for something, you're praying, you're believing God, and then all of a sudden you haven't seen it, and all of a sudden you start to think, well, maybe it ain't going to happen. You know what that is? That's a corrupt word. It's a rotten word. That's what that corrupt word means, it's rotten. Out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. How many know you are included in one of the hearers? What's grace? Grace is the supernatural power of God working in your life. Just hold fast to the confession of faith. Just keep on saying what you're saying. Just keep on saying what God has spoken over you, what God has promised you, what you see in the Word of God. Yeah, but it hasn't happened yet. Yeah, but don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season you will reap if you what? If you don't lose heart, if you don't faint, the King James says. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I know this verse. Praise God. Do you know that verse in your head or do you know that verse in your heart? Now watch this. But those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now watch this. Watch this. Those who wait on the Lord. What does that mean? One version says, those who trust in the Lord. One version says, those who hope in the Lord. One version says, listen to this, those who look for God's goodness, expect his favor, and long for his blessing. See, you know who's going to be strong? Those who wait on the Lord, and they're waiting on the Lord, and they're speaking what God says over them. They're, you know what waiting on the Lord is? It's not this passiveness. It's a course of action. It's a expectancy of faith. Now, it's not saying that it's going to happen immediately. But when you're waiting, anticipating it's going to happen. So you're waiting. Watch this. Everybody say waiting. I'm waiting. It doesn't happen today. But I think it's going to happen tomorrow. And it doesn't happen tomorrow. But I'm thinking, well, it must happen tomorrow. And it don't happen tomorrow. What am I doing? I'm waiting. But see, I'm anticipating that it's going to happen. I'm expecting that it's going to happen. I know that it's going to happen, and all I'm doing is waiting for it to happen. You see how this is different than most people? See, many people, they're waiting, and at some point of waiting, they get tired of waiting. And they start to say the wrong thing. They start to think the wrong thing. Listen, you know why my back got healed? Because I waited on the Lord. Because when it hurt, I said, I let the weak say that I'm strong. When it hurt, I said, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And month in, week in, day out, even month in and month out, You said, Pastor, what if you wouldn't get healed? I don't know what you're talking about. Do you understand this? See, that's what's waiting on the Lord. Waiting, those who are waiting on the Lord, it's not passively. Those who, that's what happened to me. I waited on the Lord expecting, knowing that God was going to heal me. And what happened? My strength was renewed. Are you catching this? Is this making sense to somebody? go ahead and play this clip. Watch this. Well, let me set it up. My last point is fight back. Fight back. You know, it's interesting because when how many believe that Jesus is a pretty mellow guy? Soft, I believe, for the most part, soft-spoken, you know what I mean? I can't prove that to you, but that's what I think. But make no mistake, there was times that I believe that Jesus got in people's face. I don't think when Peter was saying you don't have to go to the cross, I don't think Jesus went up to Peter and said, "Hey, dude, just come on, take a time out. I'm gonna go to the cross." I don't think that happened. I think he got in his face and said, "Let me tell you what, get behind me, Satan." Sorry, Peter. See, I think to be honest with you, I didn't even want to do it the way I think he did it because I didn't want to freak Peter or you guys out. I think he got in his face and said, "I'll tell you what," because let me tell you what, at some point in time, see, understand, Satan is fighting you. Satan, and what he's trying to do, he's trying to take the dream out of your life. He's trying to take that promise out of your life, the thing that God promised you, and he's doing it by your emotions and your time, and he's saying, see, it doesn't work. No, just wait on the Lord, because those who wait on the Lord are going to renew their strength. It's going to happen. He always causes us to triumph. Always. That's what the Bible says. Satan is messing with you, and he's messing with your family, and he's messing with your destiny, and he's messing with a lot. He's messing with the kingdom, and you're too passive because you don't even recognize, you know what, that Satan has his throat on your family. And what I'm telling you as your pastor is there is a time, the Bible says very clear, there's a time for peace, but there's a time for war. So what is the time for war? Here's the time for war. Jesus gives us the example. When people start coming against what you're called to do, which includes any promise that God has promised you in his word, and they come against that, when you come against that, you need to take yourself by your britches and get yourself up and tell her, I won't tolerate doubt and unbelief. It don't make no difference to me. I haven't seen it in a week. It doesn't make any difference to me. I haven't seen it in a month. It doesn't even make a difference to me. I haven't seen it in a year or 10 years. As far as me and my household, we're going to believe the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We're not coming off what God said. Let God be true and every man a liar. Because here's the truth. If you stick with it, if you will not stop, you've got to tell weariness and what's the word I'm looking for? Weariness, get out and stay out. I will not allow you in. I can't allow you to steal my dreams. God said to me, and we have all the reasons in the world. The main reason is time. Because we look at our stopwatch and go, you know what? I've been believing for a whole, whatever the time frame is that you come up with. Time is an indication that God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. It's just an opportunity for you to stop believing what God said he was going to do. And let me say the reciprocal, because if you won't wait on the Lord, then guess what happens? Your strength isn't renewed. When you finally say, I guess I was wrong. I guess God can lie. I guess, and we would never confess that, but when we give up, when we stop believing, that's exactly what's happening. The Bible says, protect your heart. For out of your heart, you got to protect your heart. And your aunts and your uncles and your neighbors and your friends and the person on the radio, the newscasts. Some of you just got to turn off the news. Why? Because you're listening to doubt and unbelief and fear. And it's just stirring all this inside of you. And you're afraid. That's not the Spirit of God. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. Where's that coming from? It's coming from the demonic. It's coming from our enemy. It's coming from our enemy. And all he has to do, if he can't take you out, he's going to wait you out. And he just tries to wait you out and get you to finally give in and give up. Well, I'm here to tell you. Here's what I'm here to tell you. If you will not lose heart, you will reap a harvest. You will reap a harvest. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Psalm 34. Starting with verse 1. Guys in the back, follow me. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Whether I see it or whether I don't. Whether I feel it or whether I don't. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to bless Him. I'm going to bless His name. No matter how I feel, no matter what I see, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, what's my soul? My will, my emotions that want to just run in free in fear and say, God, you know, I guess I missed it. You didn't miss it. I'm going to tell my soul, watch this. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and they'll be glad. There are going to be people around you and they're glad that you haven't given up on God. They're going to be glad that you won't stop not saying what he says. But watch this, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord. What does that mean? It means with your mouth you're confessing God is good. He is God Almighty. He is the healer. He is my provider. He is my Savior. He is my baptizer in the Holy Spirit. God is my protection. You're magnifying all these things. You're repeatedly saying this thing, what God is and who He is and what He is and His character. If we will, all we have to do, listen, here's my message. God is on your side. His character is good. He is a good God. And you cannot stop doing what he is speaking to you. And if you will not stop, you will renew your strength. You will see that which he's promised. You're going to see it come to fruition. And when it comes to fruition, you know what you're going to do? Watch this. You're not going to do anything different than you did the week before or the month before. You had your dancing shoes when you were going uphill, and you're going to have your dancing shoes when you're going downhill. Amen? Because you're blessed in the city, and you're blessed in the field, and you're blessed in the country, and you're blessed in Pico Rivera. Amen? And you're blessed when you go to Downey. Amen? And you're blessed, amen, when you go home, and you're blessed when you go to work. See, you are not changing because the character of God is changing. And when you see it, all you do is say, oh, see, you're waiting on the Lord. You're putting your trust in him. You're believing for it anyway. So when you see it, you just go, oh, praise God. Amen? Do you get this? See, you're praising him at all times. His praise is continually in your mouth. That's someone who's going to see the blessings of God come in their life. That's someone who's going to see the promises of God in their life.
I can think of times of waiting on God, and two things that stick out as a pattern. One is we don't just wait. the Word of God has so many proactive things that we're supposed to be doing while we wait. And I can look at my life, and when I'm just waiting, I become weary. And I begin to doubt. And I become unsure of what is happening and what's going to happen and what's going to be. And I begin to even become unsure of Him and then unsure of myself. But if we wait on the Lord the way we're supposed to wait on the Lord, the Word of God has a lot of scriptures about waiting on the Lord. And you'll see all kinds of proactive stuff in that waiting that we do. Let me just get a couple of them here for you. This is Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Are you of good courage when you're waiting? Because He's telling us to be of good courage. And then He'll strengthen our heart. When we're of good courage, our heart gets strengthened as we wait for Him. And then he goes on and he says, I will say to the Lord. We're talking to the Lord. We're not just sitting there, you know what, waiting. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. We're resting. We're not anxious. We're not afraid. We're resting. And we're knowing that patience, that He's coming. When we don't rest, when we don't be of good courage, when we don't talk to Him, we get all messed up. Here's the second way I've messed myself up a lot. In figuring out how it's going to happen. See, I just know, okay, I'm waiting on something. Okay, it's gonna go like this. I've never been right. Can I tell you that? I stopped doing that. If I catch myself doing that, stop it. Because I'm always wrong. And I remind myself, it didn't happen the way you thought here, and it didn't happen the way you thought there. So stop trying to figure it out, Tamara. Just rest. Just rest. And know that God is a good God. The Bible says we must believe that He is a good God. That's really, you want to work on something? Just work on that. See, because when we know, and you'll know what I'm talking about. My parents, I guess I'd say both, it's not just my father. My parents are so loyal to me. Do you understand that? Do you have someone like that in your life? Like they are just in your corner and you dang well know it. They're in your corner to tell you that you're wrong, if you need to be told that. They're in your corner, you know what, to defend you if you need to be defended. They're just there, solid. They're in your corner when you're acting ugly, and they're in your corner when you're not. They're just there. That's my parents. Have been my whole life. Always. If the chips are down, it just doesn't matter. They're just there. That's God to us. And we gotta, that's gotta be more real to me than the reality of my parents. And all of us have someone like that in our life that we, man, they've been so there for me all the time, so faithful to me. Whoever that is that you would associate, that's God to us. There's never been a day, and the way we begin to question that is when we are not reminding ourselves of who He is and what He says. When we're getting fearful, when we're letting fear grip us and not pushing it back. When we're not resting, when we're not being patient, when we're not being of good courage, when we're not, here's another one, stir yourself up, the Bible says. When we're not stirring ourselves up and reminding ourselves. I mean, when... Okay, so God got us carpet all through this place, total miracle, total victory. And then when I was waiting for the chairs, I was like, Lord, why is it taking so long? And He said, you're not on it like you were with the carpet. I knew what He meant. I was doing all the things that I knew to do, my part, concerning the waiting. But with the chairs, I was like, waiting. Okay, like, when's it coming, Lord? Okay, how long ago did we ask you for these chairs? When's it happening? We really need them, Lord. So I wasn't doing all the things that I knew to do. Does that make sense? We have to do our part. We're in a relationship. And we can totally trust God. If there's any times that you can look back and think that you can't trust him, you need to ask him, what happened here, Lord? Because one thing I can assuredly, every one of us has been in a place where we think that we've been let down. But when I've sought the Lord and said, okay, what happened right here? And you know why I do that? Because I know, I don't know what went wrong, but here's what I know isn't the problem. God is not the issue. So Lord, what is the issue? We've got to come to that place where we know he is the only thing, the only person, the only one that we can really, really count on. And if you've been alive for any time at all, you kind of know that. At the end of the day, it's all about him. And what's the saddest thing in the universe that I see happen is when the chips are down, people drop God like a lead balloon as if they've been, you know what I mean? We run from the very answer that we need. Because we're deceived, because we don't understand that when at the end of the day, he's everything. He's the only one. He's the one who has never, 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 ever turned his back on me. Never has, never will. And in the moments when it seems like, God, where are you? Those are the times that we just need to snuggle up closer to him and say, help me. What's happening? What am I missing? What's going on? And you know what I've learned in those times? So many times in those times, it has to do with other people's will. If you look at a lot of the delays, you see other people, it usually involves people. Does God override people's will? So who's really fudging it up when we're in those times? So it may be taking a longer route, but what's the saddest thing in the world is if I don't know that God is God and he's on this for sure, then when the will of people are fudging things up, and it's not happening, what I don't realize is God's going all the way around the back, up the mountain, and going to all this trouble because he's going to make it happen no matter what. At the end of the day, he is true to me, and he is going to take care of me no matter what. That's who God is. And we have to remember that picture. You know what? That if I see my dog sometimes, she tries to get to me. That dog is loyal. Loyal. You know what I mean? Faithful. And if the other day, just yesterday, Megan was sitting next to me on the couch. It's like she's trying to tunnel through a human being. Megan's like, what is your problem? I said, Megan, she wants to be near me. That's what she wants. And she was just not gonna have it. She's just pushing, you know what I mean? She wants to be. So I picked her up and I put her by me. Okay, now she's happy. God will go all the way around if that's what it takes. If the answer is way over there, he's on it and he's bringing it my way. And I've seen that time and time again. Amen. And so we just need to look up the resting and the being patient and our part, you know what, and the confessing and the pushing off the fear and the reassuring ourselves of who God is and how much he loves us, so that we can make it through these seasons. Oh, here's another one. And the casting down. Gosh, the thoughts that come to us in these times that we just need to say, no, no. God's got this. Amen? Give it to him. Know he has it. And then do your part. And know that he will do whatever it takes to be faithful to you, to take care of you. Amen? Amen.